Hello, this is Leslie Garfa-Tenzer, and this is Legal Tenzer, casual conversations on noteworthy legal topics. As the school year ends, I thought it might be nice to hear a 3L reflect on her law school experience. Today, Caitlin Campanini, editor-in-chief of the Pace Law Review, one of our school's valedictorians, shares her experience and advice. I was amazed and my heart was warmed to hear that everything she spoke of when it comes to excelling in law school is identical to the tricks and tips I share with my 1L class. This is a great podcast for those of you who are about to take 1L and 2L exams and anyone else who wants to share a trip down law school memory lane. Enjoy the discussion. All right, thank you so much for joining me. This is terrific. You are such a good student, and I couldn't think of anyone better to kind of reflect back on your years at law school. And so new law students and 1Ls and 2Ls are going to be listening to this. So I guess I'm going to start with the broadest question possible. Reflecting back, what would you tell a 1L?
Probably to take a deep breath. I remember I started law school right in 2020, in the fall of 2020. So it was kind of a very unique time to be joining law school because there was so much that was remote, so much not really in person, and so much uncertainty in general. And I just had absolutely, I wasn't sure if I was going to like law school. I wasn't sure a lot of things. I was petrified of losing my scholarship, of everything. And I didn't, and it was a lot. It's a new kind of learning that you really have to kind of wire your brain to do. And the entire first year, I think I was very stressed and I overthought a lot of things. And I think this year I've just kind of resolved to take a step back and just relax because everything always gets done and I'm not someone who doesn't get it done. And I've just found that like my mental health has appreciated it a lot. So I think just take a deep breath and really just try to enjoy it, even though it's stressful.
You know, if I hadn't known any better, I would have told you I told you what to say. I would have said the same thing. But one of the things that you said, which is something that I like to focus on, is this idea of law school being a new kind of learning and rewiring your brain that, you know, I say to my students all the time, get out of your undergrad head. And I think it's so ironic that the skill set that got you into law school, which is memorizing in big lecture hall kind of work for many, is actually not what's going to get you good grades in law school. So what do you, you know, everyone says, what are they looking for? But what makes for a good law school essay?
Well, so I was in English, I double majored in English and history. So I was really like, oh, I'll be good at law school. I know how to read, I know how to write. And coming in, I think I was shocked at how different the learning was just because I expected to just fall right into it. I think what makes a good law school essay, and this is something I still struggle with, is getting to the point and being concise and not trying to sound all or throw everything you've ever learned at something, because that's not what professors want to read. They want to see that you know the law and not that you're just reiterating or regurgitating everything you've ever learned that relates to negligence or relates to personal jurisdiction. You have to be able to issue spot and see, okay, this is what's relevant here, and not talk about things that just because you learn them, because it actually shows to the professor that maybe you don't know what the real issue is. So you're just trying to cover all your bases. So I think learning to be concise, which is I talk a lot and I write a lot. So that's something I still struggle with.
But, you know, again, it's so, you know, as I said in the intro, you're valedictorian, which you share with some other women, which is always nice too. But, and you're saying everything that I think is important. And again, this goes back to undergrad. Like, you don't get points on law school, I can say as a professor, for just knowing the law. You get points for knowing when to use the right law. And so sometimes if you say everything to your point about negligence and the case only deals with duty, right, then you're not going to get points for causation or breach. And not only are you not going to get points for causation or breach, but you're saying to the professor, I don't know which of these elements is relevant. And I think that cannot be stressed enough, is to say this is relevant.
Yeah, I think in classes like torts and contracts, there's so many things you can throw at something and you really have to be able to zone in on what that real issue is. And it's so easy for a professor to see if you can't do it. When I took property, my professor had like you could only, you could write in, you had 25 words or less for some questions or 150 words or less. And I was beside myself. I was like, there's no way I can write an answer in this. And then it was looking back that I realized how difficult it is to be concise unless you really understand the concept and know exactly what the question's asking you. And so it was actually a very clever way to see whether or not students knew what you're talking about, because anybody can ramble on and find something that you can collect points on.
Yeah, I once had a student, I did not have a word limit, and the student wrote everything, almost like the same answer to every question. And with each question, eventually, you know, that student got the right part because it was buried in there. So now I have a word limit. I have 450 words. My students think that that's still too little, but believe me, they will be fine. So let's just talk a little bit about studying. I mean, we're talking about this for West Academic. I have no problem with using study guides. I guess, talk a little bit about how you study and when you supplement, when you don't, that kind of thing.
So the first semester, I don't think I really, my first like semester of 1L, I didn't know a lot of the study guides, and I think a lot of people don't know about them. Mm-hmm. I used them for criminal law because it was just a class I found really difficult, and I think it really helped me with that class. I think the problem with study guides is you have to, like, as you said, know when to use them and know when not to use them, because you don't necessarily take the class in law school, you take the professor. And sometimes study guides, they take you down a wormhole because all of a sudden you start seeing things and all that aren't connecting to what you learned in class, because maybe you learned it in a different way or you just didn't touch that yet. I found with contracts was a class I struggled with a lot in 1L. Mm-hmm. And those study guides could take me down wormholes, because I'm one of those people that needs to understand, not just the, you tell me something, okay, I need to understand the why. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's worth it kind of wasting my time in some ways and learning things that might not be relevant. But for some people, I think it ends up just sending them on like a little tailspin and you can do too much. So I think I would recommend using supplements. I think they're very helpful. I've used them for most of the classes I've taken in law school, particularly ones where I don't get a lot of practice questions from professors, but use them sparingly and don't necessarily take them at heart, because if your professor explains something differently, that's what they want to hear, and they don't want to hear the way that a supplement book is explaining it.
You know, and again, you know, and I'm just interjecting kind of what you're saying. I'm all for study aids. I think they're fabulous used in the right way. I said this to my class on Thursday, nothing makes my blood boil than when someone cites a study guide on something we didn't teach. Like, at least pretend you took the professor, you know? all right, I'm going to pivot a little bit, because one of your other stellar accomplishments is that you're editor-in-chief of the Pace Law Review. Full disclosure, I am the faculty advisor to the Pace Law Review. I am a Law Review groupie. I loved it in law school. And I think a lot of students aren't aware of Law Review and what Law Review is. And then when they become aware, a lot of them don't realize its value. So can you talk a little bit to Law Review, what it is and what its value is?
So Law Review is a student-run journal at most law schools. And what we do is it's a group of students, very usually high-achieving students who are interested in work, because it's not for the lighthearted at times. That what we do is we solicit papers from academics across the country and the world that are writing about all sorts of legal issues and just anything you could imagine. And what we do is we read these articles, we offer, make offers and acceptances, and we publish them. And so we have the whole editing process. We have an entire team that helps us work on an article from start to finish until we see the finished product. And I didn't really know much about Law Review when I joined. I just knew that every movie I've ever seen about law school talked about Law Review. And I was like, okay, well, I need to do this. So I joined Law Review, and I did not know what I was getting myself into. And I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I do. There's something really rewarding about working on something right at like as a working paper and then helping finish it from to like the finished product. And you learn a lot, not just with the blue book, but also how to do academic writing, because you see different styles of how so many really brilliant people are writing their work and conveying these ideas in a way that it's very different than the kind of writing you typically see in law school, because we're reading cases, and academic writing for law is like nothing I've ever done before. It's very formulaic, but at the same time, it's stylistic. And so it's very interesting to see like how you lay out a paper and how you do it, because I didn't know how to do it until probably early this year, like correctly.
Well, I mean, and how would you? It actually, and that's the thing about, so a law review is basically when law students publish a journal of articles that are written by law professors at other schools. And they submit all these articles, and then the journal gets to decide which ones to publish. And then they have to, the students have to edit them, which is so interesting because it is actually a chance for the students to kind of teach the professors. I mean, I always learn when my articles are edited by students. I'm always so appreciative. I understand time demands. You know, law school is a little different than when I went. It's a lot more expensive. And there's also, I think, this push now to really make sure you have a lot of experience on your resume. But I think that this experience, it's almost like, well, you could speak to this. I mean, how does it compare to clerking for a judge? You know, I mean, you did a little clerkship for a judge, right? So how does it compare? How does it help? Because everyone who clerks for a judge says, I learn how opinions are written. So how does this compare? Law review.
It's interesting that you say that, actually, because I don't think I've ever connected the two, but I just know that everyone that clerks does do law review. And I just assumed because it was, you know, looked good on your resume. But I think you're right, because the way that you write an opinion and that kind of writing is very, I guess, formulaic, in the sense that you have to explain the law and you have to then go through an analysis. And we can say it's IRAC, and it is, but it's also just showing like a story from start to finish of how a judge got to where they are and why they're deciding in this manner. And it's very similar with kind of academic writing, and kind of how you go about editing an article is you have to read it, and you not just for clarity and like the citations, that's a given, mm-hmm. but you also have to make sure that this makes sense to a reader. And we're the perfect readers, because a lot of students on law review have never heard about these topics, and they're very interesting. So you have to go and you kind of have to fact check these brilliant professors at other schools and be like, actually, this isn't supported by this source that you're citing. And you have to learn how to say it in a very respectful way, with something that is uncomfortable. But yeah, I think that the two kind of do really lend to each other, because you really get a lot of writing skills and a lot of research skills, which is useful in whatever career you end up going into.
You know, it's I just had a law review article that I wrote edited by other students, and they said, would you consider, you know, da, da, da. And you know, it's just, I guess you're right. I didn't think about it. It's awkward to be telling the professor how to do it. But again, I learn a lot from it from that way. And you're right. It is, you know, so issue rule analysis conclusion is a great way to write an essay, right? You spot mm-hmm. the issue and the rule. But really, to me, a law review article is like a macro IRAC. And actually, I guess an opinion is too, right? They have an issue before the court, it's on appeal, and they give the law. And then they have to decide whether whatever that issue is, how that compares to the law that's already existing. And then they give their conclusion.
And just as a law student, I know there are so many times when you think about what cases were easy to read, it's the cases that were very clear about what the problem is and what they decided. Mm-hmm. And then you can like figure out what that law is in the middle. There's kind of a joke among students that there's certain Supreme Court justices where it's like, oh, thank God it's this justice, because you're always going to know what the issue is and what the whole thing is before you start anything else.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a decision, like a stylistic decision when you're writing.
That's interesting. So I'm putting you on the spot, but what was your favorite class in law school?
My favorite class in law school. So I'll say what my favorite 1L class was.
Because okay, that's good.
You don't get to pick it. So I think my favorite 1L class was contracts, uh-huh. which is a lot for me to say because I struggled the most with contracts, but I really enjoyed it in the sense that I think it was a class I felt like I really had to work for. Not that you don't have to work for any law school class, but I found it so hard and I don't know why I did. And it's one of those things that I think looking back, I'm like, all these things are clicking that never did. And I don't understand why I found them so confusing at the time. So I think I appreciate challenging myself. So I think that's why contracts is my favorite class. I also took it with Dean Anderson, who's phenomenal. So I really enjoyed it. I think my favorite class that I got to pick, mm-hmm. don't want to break your heart.
No, you know, I was going to say you can exclude my classes, but anyway.
Yeah. No, it, it, Social media law was the most interesting class I took, but I think my favorite class is very surprisingly evidence. I don't know why. I absolutely love evidence.
Wow.
I thought I was going to go into corporate law, and then I took evidence and I was like, I don't know, do I need to be a trial attorney just because I find the rules of evidence so interesting? I don't know if it's because it's formulaic and very, like, there is a rule for it, but I took it with Professor Gershman, and he's a wonderful professor at my university, and I just fell so in love with it. And PACE is a program where I'm able to work with students and I help them with evidence. And it's really rewarding because I think it's a class that students find very challenging, and I did, but it just kind of clicked in a way I didn't expect. So I really find it rewarding to, like, be able to answer questions and just about hearsay and, like, understand something that I know people find really difficult. So maybe it's that I just like feeling smart, but I did.
I'm very impressed. Evidence was my most difficult class in law school. I really struggled with it. I never, you know, the truth of the matter asserted never quite rung in my head. I don't know why.
But never clicked. That's fair.
Just didn't click. I tried. But, you know, it is interesting. Like, I noticed with students, they're either kind of contract people or con law people, you know? I actually teach contracts, but truthfully, I loved con law. And when I graduated from law school, I worked in the area of constitutional law rather than corporate law. But, you know, you don't get to pick. And that is a reason. The reason you don't get to pick, by the way, dates all the way back, because the whole idea is it doesn't matter what we're teaching you to think differently. So all these general courses are just kind of a vehicle by which to teach you the same skill across the board. And then when you finish your first year, you do get to pick your classes. But what is really nice to hear is that you took some class that really was not necessarily going to enhance your track, and it made you take a different path. I do think it's really important when you're in law school to take as many different classes as you can, because once you get out, that's it. You're taking, you know, you're stuck. So,
yeah, I agree completely. I took a wide array of classes, from health law courses to bar classes to social media law classes. And I'm glad I did, because it's just, I enjoy learning, and I just found different perspectives on things, even if I'm never using it in life. I think, like you said, the point of law school is not to teach you law, it's to teach you to think. And I enjoy thinking, so.
Well, you think well. What surprised you the most about law school?
What surprised me the most about law school, honestly, I think was that first year. The way many law schools do it is you are in a section that you are with your entire first year. And it's about, at my law school, it's about 70 to 80 students. And you just kind of get very, it's a very interesting kind of fishbowl, like-esque type thing, because you are with the same people day in and day out while you're going through a very stressful experience together. And you kind of get very close to people very quickly. I don't know if that's what trauma bonding is, but I met my best friend the first day of law school, and I'm now going to be the maid of honor at her wedding, like, in a few months. So it's incredible just how close you can get to people. But I think that's a really interesting kind of like takes you back to high school in a way, because you just kind of, it's such an interesting environment. I think that fishbowl thing, which maybe isn't what you would expect me to say, but I think it's something that people don't really like expect.
Yeah, that is interesting. You live and breathe with the same group of people for a year, not even just a semester. It's a year.
It's a stressful year too.
But you know, and the other, I like to remind students about that too, that those are going to be the people that you network with. I mean, I've been out of law school for many decades, forget years. And someone asked me for a recommendation, and I recommended a guy. I hadn't been in touch with him in forever, but I knew he was in my section, and I knew he was a good personal injury attorney in Florida. And I gave, you know, someone his name. So
Dean Anderson and Professor Crawford were in the same section in law school, and that's how he got the job here.
That's right. That's how he got the job. Yeah. That's exactly true. That's incredible. True. So, well, this has been wonderful. Any other words of wisdom that you want to pass along?
Law school's hard. I think I found it a very rewarding experience. I also know many people who don't like it, but they are very happy in their careers. So I think it's okay. And it's also okay not to know what law you want to do. I'm not entirely sure what I want to do. I have a job after graduation, and I'm perfectly content just seeing where that goes. Mm-hmm. Which is something I'm not used to, because I'm very type A. But I think my biggest, like, piece of advice is to make sure you take some time for yourself during law school too. it's very stressful and I'm not always good at my own advice, but it is important for your mental health to take breaks now and then and not study 24/7, even if everyone else is telling you that they are, because they're not. And just don't compare yourself to everybody else, because that, especially with this kind of how you see the same people every day and you hear someone tell you that there are so many weeks ahead in the reading and how many hypos they do a day. And it's really hard not to compare yourself. And I'm not perfect in it in my own sense at all, but try your best to just remember that everyone else is, you know, full of it. And if they are doing that much work, that's fine, because everyone learns differently.
Right. That's true. I always say the person who speaks the most doesn't necessarily do the best.
Yes.
So, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. I will so miss seeing you in the halls. And you're my research assistant. But we're gonna continue to work together.
Yes, I will definitely be back.
Thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, or a professor or attorney with whom you'd like me to speak, send us an email at legaltensor@westacademic.com and send us any suggestions you may have. We love getting feedback. Have a great day.